Meanwhile, the federal case against Donald Trump, the classified documents case, has been dismissed. It's been tossed by Judge Eileen Cannon. What does this mean? What does she say? George Danini with Butzel Long joins me to talk about it. George, good to have you back. What are your thoughts?
Well, it's a 93-page opinion, so she left no stone unturned to try to support precisely what she did. And, you know, we can get into it in as much detail as you want, but at bottom, it's a separation of powers type of argument, going back to kind of high school civics. You know, the president has the power to appoint, but it has to be with the advice and consent of the Senate. And so you're kind of, by allowing the head of the Department of Justice, the Attorney General here, Merrick Garland, to appoint the special prosecutor, Jack Smith, you're kind of taking the Senate out of its constitutional role. And that is something that she said could not happen. That's the gist of her opinion, but it took 93 pages to kind of get there.
Well, is there any precedent to back up her decision?
Look, I think that she certainly has, it's not kind of made up out of whole cloth. It certainly has some constitutional underpinnings, but it largely, I don't want to say, neglects, but it tries to explain why it doesn't apply. But we have had a history of special prosecutors in this country. You know, certainly over the last 50 years, think Watergate against Nixon, Ken Starr, Whitewater with Bill Clinton, and even most recently Robert Mueller as a special counsel. So there's a history here that she essentially sidesteps by saying those they kind of assumed that the special prosecutor function was appropriate without deciding it, and now I am deciding it. Obviously, she knows that this is going to be appealed, I'm sure appealed rather quickly, and her court is in Florida, so this will go up to, there's circuit courts across the country, and the 11th Circuit is the circuit court that stands over her court, and so I'm sure there will be an appeal, and we'll be seeing what that next level court decides based on her opinion.
One of the things that I saw was that Jack Smith, when he was appointed, was a private citizen. He wasn't affiliated with the DOJ at all. Is there something problematic there that Judge Eileen Cannon clung to?
Yeah, I think at bottom, you know, she says, well, the Attorney General of the United States, no question, has to be with the advice and consent of the Senate. And then there are what's called United States attorneys across the various districts. And there's 90 plus of them, and they have to be
all Senate approved.
And I think, in fairness, Jack Smith's powers are greater than a U.S. attorney, certainly less than the attorney general. So if a U.S. attorney has to be confirmed with advice and consent of the Senate, why wouldn't he? So that's kind of where that goes. But again, you have to think to, why are we doing a special prosecutor in the first place? And it's to take politics out of it. You know, you have a situation here where the Department of Justice is, you know, ruled over or commanded by now President Biden. And if there's going to be a case like this brought against a former president, you kind of want to try to take politics out of that. You can't always take politics out of a case like this, obviously, but that's the goal. And, you know, it's a laudable goal, and you should want to have some independence. So, again, we've got at least 50 years and more than that, frankly, of special prosecutors. But, you know, and the opinion kind of goes into it. They had different functions. They were appointed under different statutes. It gets real complicated. But, you know, I do think that, like I said, this will be reviewed on appeal. And don't forget, you know, Jack Smith is also the special prosecutor in the case that's pending in D.C. about the election itself, and he's appointed under the same concept as the independent counsel there. And there you have more precedent that supports the special counsel function. So you may have courts in D.C. essentially saying one thing, Judge Cannon saying something else. Ultimately, I think we see this in front of the Supreme Court someday.
Oversight seems to be a major question here. One of the things that she pointed out was the lack of oversight that his team had by the DOJ. Does that play here as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. Again, I think that's by design, right? You want to, you need to have some oversight, but you want to have independence. And so that's by design. But, you know, she put in her opinion how this has cost, I think I saw references to already over $25 million in expenses associated with these prosecutions, or maybe just even this prosecution. So, you know, it's a, not an insignificant amount of money, obviously. Significant issues being litigated. He's got a team of lawyers and investigators who are looking into this. But yeah, I think that will play in. But again, I think it's by design, because if he, you know, if he's controlled by the attorney general, then what's the point of having an independent counsel appointed in the first place?
So the other part is you talked about the appeal process. What comes next?
So I assume, and with pretty great certainty, that Jack Smith and his team are vigorously putting together their papers to file in the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals, which is, again, the appropriate court where the appeal would go. And by the same token, my guess is the former president's lawyers in the D.C. case, who have not filed this type of motion in that court, will be ginning up their papers to try to get a similar result in D.C. And again, ultimately, how the timing of all those work, we're going to be well past the election before any of this gets ferreted out.
Yeah, and I do want to talk about that in a minute, but you talked about the case that's then going to be filed in the D.C. case. Is there how does the Cannon decision then play in with the case in D.C.? Are they more likely to dismiss that case now because of Eileen Cannon's decision?
Yeah, it's good. It's a good, very good question, actually. So a Florida United States District Court's opinion has no binding precedential effect for a D.C. District Court judge. So, but the D.C. District Court judge, I forget his or her name off the top of my head, but certainly can pay attention to that opinion. I'm sure we'll read her opinion. It's quite lengthy, as I said, and we'll certainly think about what's there, but is not bound by her conclusions. And again, there is more case law, as you would imagine, in the D.C. circuit along things of this nature. And so there's going to actually be things that she was able to sidestep and dismiss as not binding authority, D.C. judge is going to have less ability to do.
And you do believe that this is going to get passed, pushed way past the election?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I think that things take time.
There's just going to be so much ping-ponging back and forth in court with these appeals that seems to be the consensus. George Nannini of Butts Along, thanks so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yep, you got it.